Always my pleasure to be joined by the Reverend Vernon K. Walker, who is the Policy Director at the Young Democrats of Massachusetts. And Reverend Walker, welcome back.
Oh, glad to be back. I am hippopotamus proud and peacock happy to be back and having a conversation with you, Rick.
That's quite an image to start off the day. I appreciate that. That's great. A couple of things, and I'm not sure what order we should take them in, but I guess we'll go with the long view first.
What order you like.
All right, let's go with the long view first, and then we'll bring it into yesterday. You are now involved in something that I just became aware of, and that is the ranked choice campaign. And maybe you could explain that a little bit and tell me what the process is and why this will be on the ballot.
Yes, I'll be more than glad to, Rick. So simply put, ranked choice voting would allow voters to have more choice and more say in the electoral process. So the way the system is currently set up, voters currently go to the polls, and usually and invariably vote for one person per race. However, what ranked choice voting would do, especially if there's a crowded field like it was yesterday in the congressional district fourth race, the fourth district of the congressional district here in Massachusetts, where you had over five candidates, and it looks like the winner will emerge with less than 50%. So what ranked choice voting would do, it would allow voters to go and rank their candidates. And the way the process operates is, if no candidate gets greater than 50% in the first round of tallying and vote counting, then it would go to a second round. And what would happen this round is the lowest vote getter, and the candidate receives 50% or more of the vote, it would go to a third round. And the lowest vote getter in the second round, just as similar to what it was for the first round, lowest vote getter will be eliminated. And so on until a candidate is declared to have 50% or more of the vote. And simply put, voters would go to the ballot and they would receive a ballot. And then instead of, again, just casting their vote for one person per race, they would rank their candidates, choice one, choice two, choice three, choice four, and so forth. This will revolutionize the way in which we vote here in Massachusetts and the way in which politics is done. But I want to get back to the counting for a second. For a pragmatic example, if a voter votes for candidate A on first choice, candidate B second choice, candidate C third choice, candidate D fourth choice, if at the end of the first round, the voter who voted for candidate A is the lowest vote getter, and if no one has 50% or more of the vote of the tally, then it would go to the second round. So that voter's choice, which would have been candidate A, will be cast to a side, and then we go to their second choice. Well, let's say their second choice is candidate C. So if actually candidate C is still in the second round, so that one voter choice would then therefore go to C. Let's figure that the vote total would be the total votes will be counted again. And if candidate C is the lowest vote getter in round two, then that person will be eliminated, and now you still have candidate A and B. And if the voter's third choice was candidate A, then that voter's choice would be that the voter's support would be go to candidate A. And then obviously, with two people in the race, someone will emerge with 50% or more. But it's really impactful and really useful for several different reasons. And before I just jump into those reasons, we will realize that the city of San Francisco has ranked choice voting implemented already for a number of years. In fact, I think since either 2004 or 2005, New York City just passed it last year, so they have ranked choice voting implemented in their way they vote. Then we have the state of Maine. In the last several years, now has it, and it is a statewide thing for Maine and for voters to vote using a ranked choice system. And there's others in countries across the world that use this method. And there are some benefits to using it, but I just want to put a pin right there in case you may have any follow-up questions.
Yeah, from my own viewpoint here, to amplify it in my own mind, let's say I voted for someone and that person gets eliminated. Now, that yep. means my second choice, that goes to whoever that is as it adds to his particular or her particular vote. Is that correct?
Yeah. So whoever your second choice is, that individual, if they're still in the race, would get that vote.
Right. Essentially, she'd be getting my vote as number one at that point. Now, and there's just one vote. We don't go back to the polls over and over again. This is just done by process of elimination.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
All right. I got it. When I read it, I first struggled with it, but now I got it. Okay. All right. So you want to continue with ranked choice and tell me what else you want to mention?
Oh, sure. It's beneficial to the current way in which we do politics now, and politics is done. It revolutionized the way politics is done. We just saw the U.S. Senate race primary yesterday here in Massachusetts between Senator Ed Markey and Representative Joe Kennedy, and it got nasty, you know, throughout the course of campaigning over the last year. You know, in some instances, it got ugly and a lot of mudslinging. Well, if ranked choice voted with ranked choice vote was implemented, then what it would do is bring more civility into politics and less mudslinging and less nastiness and less meanness. Because a candidate, in order to win an election, would truly have to have a broad support of the constituency, not just a segment of the constituency.
Mm-hmm.
And if a candidate is running a campaign trying to possibly win the support of his or her opponent's base and perhaps be their second choice or third choice or fourth choice, then they will be less likely to attack candidate A. Candidate B will be less likely to attack candidate A because candidate B has an interest in appealing to candidate A's basis, to candidate A base. So that's one dramatic difference that we can see benefit. And another is that it would encourage people of color and women to run for office, and it would encourage a lot of people to run for office that feel called to do that. And also, one last thing I want to point out about it is that it would eliminate the spoiler effect. So simply put, what the spoiler effect is, I'll use the 2000 presidential race. We saw Bush versus Gore and then Ralph Nader. So both Bush and Gore got around about 48%, 47%. Bush just a little ahead, 47.5 or 47.6. If you will, and obviously, you know, the infamous happened during that election. But it was a national vote, and there were Nader supporters, and they said that if they had an opportunity to rank their second choice, Al Gore would have been their second choice. So if ranked choice voting or RCV was implemented back then, Gore would have been the president and possibly changed the trajectory that the country and the way in which the country was going, and perhaps may have responded differently to the Iraq war, and so many things could have went different. However, we did not have ranked choice voting in because we know that Ralph Nader and Al Gore were similar in their policy platform and their policies and ideas and what they were proposing. So we just see ranked choice voting as a way to revolutionize the way in which voting happens. And it will be on the ballot in Massachusetts on November 3rd. We want folks to vote yes on two. So listeners, we want you to vote yes on two. But if you're curious more about this issue, please go to voterchoice2020.org. And you can read up all the information about this particular issue. Most of our federal delegation, which includes the U.S. Senate senators and some congressmen and women, support this. But please go to our website and you can see all of what's happening and all who supported the former governor of Massachusetts, Deval Patrick, Bill Weldon, his supporters. And so it's just a plethora of support, and we would love to have you as the listeners. We would love to have your support, and we would love for you to vote yes on two on November 3rd for ranked choice voting, or otherwise known as RCV. And please do check out our website.
All righty. You got that out there, and we have that political announcement that we will be running. Now, Reverend Walker, let's turn to the current events now. Talking about the general election down the road here, yesterday was the Massachusetts primary. And, of course, for me, looking at the Senate primary with the incumbent Senator Markey and Congressman Kennedy, a very, very close race with Senator Markey pulling it out, and Senator Markey aligning himself with the Green New Deal and mentioning climate change and mentioning all the negative things about the president. How do the young Democrats of Massachusetts and you see yesterday's primary and include whatever else you might want to mention?
I can't particularly speak for the organization as a whole. However, I certainly can speak for myself. It was a hotly contested race. Senator Markey won with over 50% of the votes. Honestly, it was split. You know, you had some people who were in leadership at the Young Dems of Massachusetts who felt as though that they were supporters of Kennedy. You have a lot of folks who felt that they were supporters of Markey. So I haven't had a chance to do a huddle with the rest of the leadership. However, I would imagine that some folks are elephant happy that Senator Markey won, and some folks are rabbit sad that Kennedy lost. However, I think it's a time for reconciliation now as we are under one Democratic banner and umbrella. And I think it's time now we move forward towards our attention towards the general election. And a lot of people were critical of Kennedy because they felt as though that this was, he was motivated by hubris and he was motivated, out of his own ambition. And Cypress, and Russell, to try to put his stake in the ground. And actually, it's interesting, Rick, because that's the first time a Kennedy has lost an election in Massachusetts.
Yeah, it's a new day. And, I want to ask you about Senator Markey, because you're so involved in so many ways about science and climate change and so on and how science looks at it. Your opinion of Senator Markey's support of working with regulations or whatever it may change to make people, even education, to make people be more aware of what's going on with the ocean, the rising ocean, and things like that. Senator Markey, does he have, and I'm asking this out of total ignorance, Reverend Walker, does he have a record of supporting, climate change initiatives?
Oh, absolutely. Obviously, he's the author of the Green New Deal with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from New York, Congresswoman from New York. And simply, the Green New Deal is a resolution, he's hoping to get it passed during this in the next Senate session. And hopefully, Mitch McConnell will be out of office, and hopefully we'll have a new president. Vice President Joe Biden will hopefully be president and unseat Trump on November 3rd. He's been a strong stalwart and supporter of climate change bills, and the Green New Deal is revolutionary in the sense that it would take the focus away from companies on the use of fossil fuels, coal and gas, and redirect it towards clean energy, thermal energy, et cetera. So the Green New Deal would also allow workers who work in coal mines and power plants to help experience a just transition and transition them from the fossil fuel working and contribute, which fossil fuels contribute to pitting carbon in the air, which therefore creates this global warming or the greenhouse gas effect. So Senator Markey has been a strong supporter and champion of climate justice initiative and bills. He's also sponsored bills on telecommunications and revolutionized the way in which telecommunications is done. So I'm so happy. Again, I am peacock brown and hippopotamus gray that he is, that the Green New Deal champion is going back to the Senate. And I'm sure he'll beat his Republican challenger because obviously Massachusetts is predominantly Democrat, that we will be sending our champion back, our Green New Deal champion back to advocate and to turn this resolution that was introduced in 2019 and turn it into a national policy and get it as a bill so we can help slow down climate change and we can help slow down sea level rise, even though we will continue to change. But the UN said, released a report in 2018 that said, at that time, we have 12 years to slow down the climate crisis, or otherwise, hundreds of millions of people will be in poverty because of extreme weather. And extreme weather, we're talking about heat waves and floods and hurricanes and tornadoes. And they were talking about hundreds of people, hundreds of millions of people across the country, across the world. So we certainly do need a Green New Deal, and the importance of having a president who believes in the science, who believes in climate change, such as Joe Biden, would help the United States reduce its carbon emissions by 2030. Obviously Trump decided to pull out of the Paris Agreement, which was a pact that nations signed in 2016, 2015, that said that we will limit the amount of carbon that we put in the air and limit our carbon footprint. But Trump decided to pull out of that, and actually this November it would become effective. He decided to pull, him and his administration decided to pull out of that last year, and the likes of which, if he's elected again, will be disastrous for the climate.
Okay, final comments on yesterday's primary. We touched on the senatorial race. What else are you looking at?
District 4, I believe, is still being counted, hence why we need ranked choice voting, because it would make it easier to tabulate these things, the results. Unfortunately, we saw Robbie Goldstein lose to Stephen Lynch in District 8, Congressional District 8. We saw Seth Moulton win. We saw Alex Moore lose to Richard Neal in Congressional District 1. So there's a lot of momentum. There's a lot of state races that progressive candidates have won. A lot of state races that progressive candidates have lost, or more progressive candidates have lost. So it's certainly, in some ways, a changing of the guard. And it's going to be new representatives, new state senators. I'm excited to see what the next session will bring.
All right. That is the Reverend Vernon K. Walker, who is the policy director for the Young Democrats of Massachusetts. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.